that you grab your booklet, if you will. I've asked that you bring your booklet every week, every Sunday. Find a place that you can tuck it in and grab it. Put it in your pocket, fold it up if you have to. What we are currently doing is we recognize, because we have so many new people that have joined us and been a part of our becoming very much so strong, just foundational people in our body. And we welcome them with open arms. And everybody said amen. Amen. But as you begin to populate your community, this small expression of God and Jesus in this particular region of the country and of the world, we also recognize that there are times where even those of us that have been here a long time, we need to revisit our vision and values. Somebody say amen. Because how do we know if we're fulfilling it unless we are keeping it very mindful? Are you with me? And so as this young lady is gazing at a distance, vision and values, and right here on our little booklet, this is for your taking home, is called Let's Visit Our Vision and Values. And everybody said amen. Amen. Say, let's visit our vision and values. Praise God. I want to ask that you would go to the page that says, on the left it says our values, on the right says Holy Spirit led. Holy Spirit led. You follow along, and with the microphone, I will continue to read. You might want to glance at that left one and notice that it's in sentence structure in order to understand or to even, as it were, remember our four core values. It says this: the Holy Spirit leads us to be multi-ethnic, free in Christ, and hospitable. Somebody say amen. Amen. Would you read that sentence with me out loud? Ready, set, read. The Holy Spirit leads us to be multi-ethnic, free in Christ, and hospitable. In other words, the four core values of BCC is to be Holy Spirit-led, multi-ethnic, free in Christ, and hospitable. Today we're going to begin in March here, this subject right here, and that is to be Holy Spirit-led. Somebody say amen. Amen. Would you please follow along as I read, and we consider that this is just enough, not too much and not too little, for you to gather the breadth of why we believe in being Holy Spirit-led. The bold print says, we value the person of the Holy Spirit who is sent to live in and lead us. Amen. Amen. That comes from John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17 and verse 23. Listen at the word. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you do know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Amen. Let's go to the next one. We are God's children, sons and daughters who are led by his Spirit. That should be just joyful for some people. Amen. And I know how we say sometimes, and some of our pastors are really trying to help me understand. We know when the content is dense, we know that it's a little quieter because we're trying to digest it. I get that. Amen. But if you don't mind, can you at least set your word, say amen, and then you go ahead and figure it out on your own, all right? You know I'm jesting with you. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led, for all who are what?
Led.
By the Spirit of God. What an incredible statement, are children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I really love that Psalms 43 verse 10 reaches back into the Old Testament and through the prophetic Psalms and speaks forth this word. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. Amen. We are speaking about being Holy Spirit led. We're speaking about being Holy Spirit led. We want to be a people that is led by the Spirit. Let's go to this next one. We live with God's power in us. We live with God's power in us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Amen. I hope that while it requires a great deal of discipline and concentration, that we don't just read through these because we may have read them before or we think that we know them. It has even been said one of the most dangerous things is to be familiar. So I want to ask that you would do everything within God's ability within you to increase your listening, not to miss something, because God could use what you could be missing in order to transform and change you. So therefore, when we read such a thing, we're going to read a few of these passages again. We want to make sure that why are we, you know, somebody asked a good question during one of our next step classes, and that is, how many know most all Christians believe in the Holy Spirit? Amen. Right? But what is the difference? Listen, but what is the difference about why we highlight it so much so that it's a part of our core values? And the difference is, it's been said, and it's a family that's among us that has joined us recently, that actually their youth studied the churches in Ames. Now, you understand, these are some of my closest brothers and sisters, senior pastors, associate pastors, churches I believe in and spend time with these men and women of God. But these young adults said that they studied the churches in our community, and there was only one church in the doctrines and in the what the beliefs are of those churches that actually highlighted the Holy Spirit. BCC. I think the Lord deserves a good praise offer for that. Amen. Come on. In other words, I say it this way. This might make more sense to you. How many know when you pass by churches, everyone's marquee says welcome. But when you go inside, it doesn't look like everybody was welcome. Because most people in it all look the same. They all dress the same. They come from the same demographic. They have some of the same beliefs. And maybe if you have a different belief, you might get the boot because you don't believe like that. Are you with me? My point is that we need to recognize that why is it that we prioritize the Holy Spirit? And we want to today hopefully introduce some of those particular thoughts. But if you don't, let's just go through the outline. That's one of the very best ways that I've concentrated on being able to do this. Can I get you to turn your Bibles real quickly if you have those notes? Let's go to 1 John chapter 2 for just a second. 1 John chapter 2. I want to be clear that though we're doing this, by no means is this designed just to be going through the motions or academic by nature. The word of the Lord wants to reach you right where you are with what you have need of. Amen. In 1 John chapter 2, the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2, we want to read verse 16 and 17. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. It says this: for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. Hallelujah. In other translations, in other traditional translations, this is called three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And these things belong to the world. They don't belong to us. They belong to the
world.
But we're not of this world. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we want to be very aware and very attentive that these things are circulating in the world. But how does being spirit-filled directly relate to those things? I'm glad that you asked. Look at this note. I want you to write today's title down. In your own notes or on your own different piece of paper. Today what we're doing is we want to talk about the Holy Spirit, how to become Spirit-led. How to become Spirit-led. Say that out loud. How to become Spirit-led. But today's title is this: What You Need Now. I had no idea that that would be a song that we would be using those words. Are you with me? But here's what I want everybody to get attention to, because it seems a little quiet in here, and that's okay. I believe today's word and title is this: what we need now. Like what we need right now. Like not what we need in Christian by and by and after a while, but what we have need of right now. And I'm saying so much right now, even though it might not make the list, but some people even sense a cloud, as Pastor Jeremy prayed, of things that are going on in the world. And you see things in a big level, a macro level, and it begins to affect your emotions and your thoughts and your will. And I understand that. But no matter what, no matter where you are in your walk with Christ, I don't care if you're a 10-year senior in Christ, 25 senior, I don't care if you've taught Bible studies, it does not matter. How many know, no matter where you're at, if you keep living, as they say, you may have need of something right now. Maybe somebody is against you. Some maybe might be putting pressure on you. Maybe something's going on at work that you're dealing with. Maybe something's going on with your marriage right now. Maybe something's going on with your children right now. Maybe you're concerned about a particular situation. Maybe something in school might not be going just the right way. I want to talk about today what you need right now. Let me make it plainer. Any desires to be delivered from lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or pride of life. If you cannot sleep at night, if you have a stomach, abdomen, lower, reoccurring backache, people specifically with migraines, people dealing with unclean spirits, filthiness of the flesh or of the spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you are struggling with secret sins of sexuality, substance use or abuse, if you deal with stubbornness, stiff neck, and seem to resist the Holy Spirit, if your language is cursing or cussing, backbiting or gossiping, especially those who are dealing with being bound by rage of anger, meaning anger that's rageful, that throws things in your anger, things like biting or cutting yourself, uncontrollable anger, destroy things and hurt people, or cause intimidation through such acts or practices. If you are more comfortable as a victim than being the victor, God wants to release you from that today. Pray to release people from shame, blame. If you always are caught up in drama or what we call playing games, always feeling the same, like the things that are bad and things never change, your emotions have just become numb, tongue is not tame, and you envy and are jealous from other successes and fame, today we want to deal with what we have need of now. Amen. Amen. And I understand that it might be a little bit uncomfortable. And I understand that this is not the way we preach anymore, because we don't call things out like they is, but you at home dealing with them in hiding back doors and behind scenes and behind stages, but they still are going on. So therefore, I'm not even trying to prove my point. What I'm trying to say to us is that when I get a phone call, an email, or a text, or when we find ourselves praying for somebody in the lobby or over in this office, it typically is a little bit more than just the niceties of a poem or a poet on a Sunday morning. It's real deep issues that need deliverance.
Praise God. And so therefore, you may have just wanted companionship, but you crossed the line of virtue and now are vexed by an ungodly relationship, justifying it, but you know you're bound. Deliver those where hope is hopeless and wanting help where it seems helpless. What you need now is the Holy Spirit. There's so many, about four or five other titles I wanted to share, but they was just too long. But they dealt with things like this. What Christians have forgot. What churches don't emphasize. And the reason I say that is because there are brothers and sisters that sometimes are among us that have even received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but somehow have waned off and have lost even believing in Him. In other words, situations like, do we pray in other tongues? Do we still pray for when somebody has a hurt ankle, or do we go get the ibuprofen first? I'm just asking questions so that we can begin to deal with some of the depth of how we could be free. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. It says this, grab your Bibles. As the heart of God, we start with Jesus. This particular book says we start with Jesus. We do what? We start with Jesus. Our next step is to be the Holy Spirit led. Our next step is to be Holy Spirit led. So we go from the start of Jesus into being Holy Spirit led. I just think that's beautiful. Therefore, Jesus, get the notes, Jesus modeled what it's like to live a Spirit-filled life on earth. Jesus modeled what it's like to live a Spirit-filled life on earth. Go to our theme text in Philippians chapter 2. You'll have to go through the scriptures quite a bit today, at least at the first part, and then we'll apply them all at the end. Philippians chapter 2, all we're going to do is read verses 6 and 7, I believe it is. Again, I'm still in the New Living Translation. It says this, 6 and 7. Though he was God, Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. This is very important. Verse 7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. And everybody said amen. Here's the message that's behind that passage. Is that we need to gather that Jesus did not function and act on the earth under all of the deity and the divinity of being God. He stripped those things and he became like us as a human. And the reason he did that is because if Jesus went around doing all of these miraculous and powerful things and living the way that he did as God, that sets it outside of our ability to follow him. But because he was 100% human, then there is a way that we actually can follow in his footsteps and fulfill what he did. Getting quiet up in here. How is that, Pastor? Let's keep going. Look at the notes. Jesus did not minister the miracles, signs, and wonders because he was the Son of God, but because he was also the Son of Man. He received the Holy Spirit upon him and remained. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. The answer is because he operated under the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1. Let's read verses 29 to 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.
I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting, other translation says remaining upon him. The Holy Spirit descended from heaven and came upon him and rested where? Upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one of whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. And everybody said amen. Let's keep reading the notes. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, becoming the Christ, Messiah, anointed one, and led to help people in broken, bound, and breathless situations. Isaiah 61, go to Isaiah 61. We'll refer to all of these passages in when we go through the message. Go to Isaiah 61. While you're doing it, I want you to catch this thought. Jesus, say Jesus. Jesus, his last name is not Christ. Take it a step further. When does he become the Christ? No, he becomes the Christ when he's anointed from heaven after his water baptism. Why is that, Pastor? Because, as we'll see in the notes, anointing means to be rubbed on. It means to receive. And he did not become that until he comes up out of the water and the heavens are open, and there descending upon him in the form of the image of a dove was the Holy Spirit. And at that lighting and coming upon him, he becomes Jesus the Christ. It looks like I'm saying new stuff today. This is fun. I had no idea. Let's look at Isaiah 61. This is far more fun than I anticipated. Isaiah 61, for my purposes, if you don't mind, I'm going to read this from the Amplified just because I want you to hear some of it. It says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is what? Because the Lord has anointed. Because the Lord has what? Anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me so that the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. Look at these things that he says he's going to do. Go back over the list that got you quiet, but look what Jesus came to do with that spirit that was upon him. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual, to the physical and the spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes of those who are what? Bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To grant, verse 3, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion. To give them an ornament or a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes. God wants to give us beauty instead of ashes. He wants to give you something good over what you've been dealing with. The oil of joy instead of mourning. The garment that's expressive of praise instead of a heavy burden and a failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Verse 4, and they shall rebuild, and they shall rebuild the ancient ruins.
They shall raise up the former desolations and renew the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Jump down to verse 6. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord. People will speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations and the glory once that you captors shall be yours. I want to get your attention. This is such a worth point. The word just said that those who are going to come out of the most weakest, detrimental, hurt, brokenhearted prisoners, those that are bound, those that are in genuine jeopardy of just harm and hurt, when they get redeemed, they would be the ones that would build up the ruins. Let me say it another way. We're not talking about voting people in office that will rebuild the cities and rebuild the broken and rebuild the hurting and go and heal that which is sick and go and talk to those that are mourning and talk about those whose parents are hurting or down or detrimental. It's the people that were hurting that get redemption, that experience Jesus' salvation. It's the people that become whole. It's the people that see God for being the Savior and salvation. It's those people that were once that who become whole, goes back into Ames, goes back into Story City, goes back into Boone, LA, Chicago, wherever you're from, and you take that and rebuild people's lives because you can recognize I was once there and now you don't have to be that way. My God. I challenge you to go and study the scriptures of what that just said. You see, you start feeling down and out because I talked about you being downcast. No, the Savior wants to make you an upcast. Trade in your mourning for joy. What do you think you're going to do when you get joy? Go get everybody that's mourning. You can be out of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, go back to the notes. You see, this is the passage of scripture that Jesus speaks from Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 22, when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, when he's in his hometown at the synagogue, and he reads from Isaiah. This is the Isaiah that he reads from. So therefore, we need to understand that Jesus, when he finished, he said, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. So get this. From the day he said it's fulfilled in your hearing, that means today it counts. That means Jesus has fulfilled it. That means he's done it for us. Therefore, we need to be in the posture and position of receiving it. Give the Lord a praise offering in Jesus' name. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at the notes. This is for us as sons and daughters of God who are bound slaves and servants that are human to be like him. We are to do greater works than he did by the same reliance and resource he received from the Holy Spirit. We grow to know the Holy Spirit through an abiding relationship. I want to slow down right there. We know him and we grow in him through a continual relationship, through a continual relationship. We cannot put him in a closet, lock the door, and then don't wear that like we do some of our outfits. Somebody say amen. Listen, we must, look at the notes. We must cast off the temptation of thinking academic achievement, working to earn or deserve, or following formulas of concrete instructions will grow us in God or closer to Christ. Our aptitude is based upon having an ongoing affectionate relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is intangible, invisible, which Scripture calls spiritual and eternal. We want God and his goodness in our lives by genuinely knowing through a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. The purpose and intent of what we are saying is this: we have to jump out. Break yourself out of thinking, if I read the right scriptures, I go to the right devotions, if I, you know, get my little scripture of the day and pray my little prayer, that I can check them off and I'm going in God. We're talking about an intimate, affectionate relationship with God. We're talking about one that you talk with him and you walk with him. We're talking about where you utter little whispers to him. Even the word worship means to kiss, where you have these affections. Say affections. Where you have these affections. Now, the reason I put in him about him being intangible and invisible is because I understand for many of us that seems so weird. We look around and nobody's looking and we don't feel like we are even contacting. And am I just talking to the ceiling or am I talking to God? But we have to come to the place of recognizing if you take the risk of becoming intimate and affectionate with the invisible, immortal, eternal God, King of glory, he will respond to you in ways that you know it was him and no one else. Yes. My God. Just yesterday, it started about 3 weeks ago, two of our members came up to me. And, you know, sometimes people don't approach me. They feel like I'm busy or whatever the case may be. And they approached me and they said something to me. Listen to me. They said something to me that no one knows. I have it written down in a leather book down under my desk that I wrote a few years ago, a few years ago, a few years ago. And you think just because God didn't answer it yet that he forgot about you. He has not forgotten about you. God's timing is perfect and complete. And they came and walked up to me and said a dream that I could have never imagined. And get this, I could have never accomplished it or did it on my own, or I would have did it years ago. But our God, who is awesome and mighty and power, knew what was in the book because it was in my heart. And he fulfilled that which only he could do. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you, and you. If you dare to take a risk by faith and believe him for what you're dreaming, he can see it and believe it with you until it comes to pass. Stop giving up. Stop quitting. Stop fainting on the things of God and believe it until it comes to pass. I have need of him right now. Get out of the dumps. Look at this. I pray this outline organizes this immeasurable subject with simplicity and gives you the whole message studied thoughtfully and thoroughly to be the Holy Spirit led, cultivate in the order of being. Look at these four that's on your notes. Here is the, you know, this is like almost the best part. The scriptures and stuff are all there on the second page. I want you to get this. Say Holy Spirit led.
Holy Spirit led.
Say it one more time. Say Holy Spirit led.
Holy Spirit led.
The very first recommendation of you being Holy Spirit led is that you would be Holy Spirit known. Is that you would be Holy Spirit known. In other words, that you would know the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit would know you. That you would know the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit would know you. If you want to be Spirit-led, you've got to be Holy Spirit known. You've got to be Holy Spirit what?
Known.
You got to be Holy Spirit known. I got to ease out of what I spend the most notes on. So everybody say Holy Spirit known.
Holy Spirit known.
Number two, you've got to be Holy Spirit baptized. Holy Spirit baptized. I recommend this. I certainly can't press it upon you, but wow. For as often as it's spoken in the Word of God, it just would seem as though, let me say it this way. This is for the people that want more. I'm not differentiating. You may be really good in your faith. I was at one time. I said, that was, oh man, that's great for John. That's great for Jazzy, but not for me. That was me, honestly. So I'm not even pressing it upon you, but I am going to make this offer. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you, urge you, encourage you. I dare you to ask it of him. I dare you to ask it of him. Because here's what other words, if you start studying this out, it's in the notes, but you can write it on your own notes if you like to. This is the word that also is synonymous for being spirit-filled or filled with the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me debunk this myth, because it's going on in some of our people, is that somehow we think being baptized in the Holy Spirit means you lose control of yourself. I'm preaching well now, amen? That's erroneous. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, you know, he that has a spirit has control of the spirit. So therefore, we're not talking about something. At least when I grew up, you know, those people that was that religious, they was weird. Are you with me? Guess what? Now I'm weird. I can't, you know, help it. Well, Pastor, we could have told you that, amen? But that's all right. I don't mind that, because I keep seeing dreams come true in my life. I don't mind that, because I keep seeing healing. And guess what? Even when I fall and mess up, I keep seeing his hand out to lift me back up. So I might be one of those weird people now. You know what? I'm not going to pick on anybody, but I'm thankful to God that in Matthew chapter 5, where the Bible says that blessed are those that are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'm very grateful that people call me in where there's the highest amount of conflict, the highest amount of cursing, the highest amount of mad, the highest amount of tensions, the highest thing going on in your home. And they call me in so that prayerfully I can be there, not because of me, but because of he that is within us to help bring peace. Because when you walk away, you'll be called the children of God. All I'm trying to get you to understand is this is what you need now. It's not what you need later. How many know there's so many things in our life we're like, well, I'm gonna do a Bible study on it first. No. Listen, you need this now. You need this when?
Now.
You need this when?
Now.
Number three is to be Holy Spirit anointed. Is to be Holy Spirit anointed. And then last is to be Holy Spirit led. Am I saying this like a formula? Absolutely, completely, unequivocally not. But in my attempting to try to arrange a message that it covers the ground of how to be Holy Spirit led, I believe, number one, you need to be Holy Spirit known. I believe that it's very helpful when you walk in hunger and thirst after the Holy Spirit, being baptized or being filled with the Holy Spirit or receiving. Everybody say receiving. The scriptures actually calls it receiving the Holy Spirit. Number three, to be Holy Spirit anointed. And number four, to be Holy Spirit led. So it says, what you need now. These are these things that I think would help you receive or help you have what you need of. Because this message, though it's pretty brief in its context compared to the notes, is for four types of people. The first one is for those that are already Spirit-filled, already walking very baptized in the Holy Spirit in wherever you are in your life right now, but we need reminders. We need what? I don't know about you, but I needed a reminder. Sometimes I'm listening to a message and somebody will say something, a preacher, a pastor, a podcast will speak something. And I'm like, oh my God, I've totally left off from that. I've forgotten all about that. I'm not even living like that. I don't even do that. In other words, we need reminders, because with reminders, we can come back and do the things that God got us to where we are. I like to say the second thing you have need of that I think in order to get this right now is that we're speaking to the people that have never received, so you need to be receiving. I pray that we've prompted you a little bit. I pray that we have pricked at you a little bit. I pray that the scriptures are speaking to you. I pray that there's something that makes you more inquisitive, makes you want to understand, or even makes you say yes to God. Number three, I believe, even as I read that, some of us need to be released from some things that have us bound. The word sozo means to be saved, healed, and delivered. Say delivered. There are some things that we need to be delivered from. A young man said to me this week, he says, what can we do when I'm still doing the same thing I used to do? How many know we cannot stay in the same condition and then also be angry and upset about it? Somebody say amen. Say, I want to. Say, I want to. Be free.
Be free.
Amen. And look at this last one. It says rehearsing. I just believe we need to get back on track where we're living out the things that God wants us to become and God wants us to do. When you look at that second page of notes, we're going to skip through all of those except for two passages. The first one is Holy Spirit known.
It goes to show you who the person is of the Holy Spirit. It goes over some of those scriptures that we just read. Goes over some scholarly work. Then it goes on to Roman numeral 2, Holy Spirit baptized. Speaks about how Jesus was baptized. Speaks about how John, we just read in John chapter 1, baptism of the Holy Spirit remained upon him. This is worth your note, though. Look at number 3, Roman numeral 3, Holy Spirit anointed. Holy Spirit anointed. I want you to look at the part after Isaiah 61. So look at letter D. I just want you to see that real quickly. It says that the Holy Spirit is in me and lives in us, and I know him for my sake. But he, the Holy Spirit, is upon me, upon us, as he was upon Jesus for others' sake. Did you get that? In other words, Jesus has the Holy Spirit just as we have the Holy Spirit in us. That's for us. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, like anointing, is for others. It's to do the work of the ministry. It's to take the acts and the actions of God to help someone else. And what is anointing? It's the presence of God. So when I made this statement about, so I don't confuse anybody, when I made this statement, he becomes Christ after the baptism, is because of this. The word anointing means rubbed on. Everybody turn to Acts chapter 10 real quickly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The word anointing is the English. The Greek word is Christ. The Hebrew word is Messiah. He becomes the Messiah. He becomes the Christ. He becomes the anointed one after he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus the Christ becomes the Christ after he receives the Holy Spirit upon him. And if you can connect the message, when he receives the Holy Spirit, he then goes into the wilderness, tempted 40 days, comes back in power, and he begins his ministry after he was anointed. We don't see Jesus except when he was out 12 or 13 years old, when he's in the temple asking questions of the priests. We don't see anything about his life until he comes to the river Jordan and is baptized of John. Then the Holy Spirit, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit comes upon him in the form of a dove. The Father speaks out to him and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then the Holy Spirit drives him to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, tempted of the enemy, kicks the tempt, beats the devil all up, comes out of that in power. Comes out of that in power as Jesus the Christ. He comes as Jesus the Christ after the Holy Spirit. Why does this pertain to you, Mason? Why does this pertain to you, Sister Vanessa? Is because of this. If that's what the power was for Jesus, then that's the power that's on us. If that's the power that was upon Jesus, then that's the power that was upon that needs to be upon us. That's why we need him when? We need him when? We're in Acts chapter 10. You can play, Peter, if you like, please. Oh. Technical difficulty here. Hold on. We're looking at verse 38. This is just to solidify what we said about Jesus. Look, I'll go to a King James Version. How God anointed Jesus. How God did what? Anointed. He did what? He? Anointed. Of Nazareth with what? What did he anoint Jesus with? The? With the Holy Spirit. Does everybody see that? And with power. So what did he do with the anointing? Now don't forget what we just read in Isaiah 61, Luke chapter 4. What did he do with that anointing? What did he do as the Spirit of God came upon him? He went about doing what? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Don't push that off on Jesus. Receive that for yourself. Don't push that off on Jesus. Receive it for yourself.
You see, when we put Jesus like way out there, we're missing his ministry, because he came and gave up everything to be human like us so that he would example the life he wants us to live. And how many know Jesus lived in victory? How many know when demons was around him, they just start bowing down? How many know that there was never a person that Jesus came up to that didn't receive help from him? How many know Jesus never hid from anyone but would go to them? All I want us to know is this. We need him now. We need the Holy Spirit right now. You see, here's another reason. We need to take this out of theology and theory and practice what we believe. Come on, Jesus. Last passage of scripture, Acts chapter 19. Go there real quickly. You'll stand to your feet. We'll pray. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Starting in verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, finding some what?
Disciples.
Finding some what?
Disciples.
He said to them, did you what? Receive the Holy Spirit when you believed. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that the people, that they should believe on him whom come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all, and they went into the synagogue and boldly for 3 months reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way, that means Christianity, before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Two more verses. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs of aprons were brought from the body of the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And everybody said, amen. Stand to your feet. Can I get you to reach down and just grab the person's hand that you're next, especially if you brought them or came with them, if you don't mind? Could you just find a warm hand that you can just reach down and grab right quick in Jesus' name? There's a great potential that we just laid something out that was pretty heavy, and that you are the partner that's next to them. You're the one that can provide comfort, that Jesus will bring them out. One of the songs we say says, you came to my rescue. You came to my what?
Rescue.
Father, we are praying right now, God, that you would come. Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come to the rescue. Holy Spirit, you're not an it. You're not in a back closet wishing and waiting to come out. You are here right now.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you said that whoever loves you and would obey your word, you and the Father would come in and make your home inside of us. God, right now we pray that you would call some to remember that truth. That they don't have to go looking for God. They don't have to go call a 1-800 number or ask somebody else for God. They've got God living on the inside of them. And for the ones, Lord Jesus, that have not received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that this became a hungering desire today. Today. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. We give you honor and glory. Amen.
Amen.
amen and amen. Would you give God a big praise offering if you would? Come on. Come on. Listen, if you want prayer, there's people in the room, Carla, Mark, Vanessa, myself, Kelly, others. If you want prayer, we'll be here afterwards.